Searching for your home away from home? Well, you're in the right place. This is the Barbados Travel Guide Podcast, the Welcome Stamp Edition, where we talk about moving to Barbados, working remotely, life the Bajan way, and so much more. I'm your host, Joel Manning, and it's time to learn about paradise. Hi guys, and welcome back to the Barbados Travel Guide Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Manning, and today we're going to be talking a lot about the term voluntourism. Now, I have a very special guest with me, and I don't think I'm going to do her justice with an introduction. Oh, so just tell everybody, first of all, who you are.
Oh, I am Boz Dreisinger.
Oh, she was so very humble with that introduction.
That's the simple truth.
I absolutely love it. So in terms of who Boz is, who is Boz?
Lover of all things Caribbean, professor, writer, agitator, revolutionary, thinker, limer, a whole mix of things.
Oh, it sounds a very lovely balance there, all the guys. Like, you know,
balance is key.
And there's a play there as well. So what brought you to this beautiful island of Barbados?
Well, this time or the first time, which would have been a long time ago.
Let's start with the first and then make our way to here.
Okay, I think, so I can't exactly remember the first time I came. I think it was about 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think the first time I came, I was doing a travel assignment. Among many things, I do travel writing. And back then I was writing a story for a travel magazine, and they called me up and they said, actually, I was writing quite a bit about reggae and Caribbean music, generally speaking. They said, there's this reggae festival in Barbados, you want to cover it? And I was like, yeah. So I came to Barbados and covered it. And I think that was the first time that I came. But I've been back since many times, many crop overs, many food, wine, and rums, friends, family by adoption, etc.
So that means that you're right now an honorary Barbadian.
I'll take it.
All right, so on this occasion, then, what brought you back then?
So what brought me back, so I'm not a lover of winter, period. Mm-hmm. And obviously we had an exceptionally difficult winter on the horizon. I'm from New York and born and raised, and that's where my base is, even though I travel a lot for everything that I do. So I'm hardly ever there, and I'm almost never there for winter other than like on occasion. So normally I'd be in South Africa for this chunk of the year, and because of COVID, everything that was going on, that wasn't really feasible. And so I said, well, I just want to come back to the Caribbean and be based here for a while, which I was excited to do anyway, because this is, the whole region is a second home to me. And so I said, well, where should I go? And I was considering lots of different places. And then there were a couple factors that made Barbados my pick. Ultimately, you want me to go through them?
I'm honestly very interested.
Sure. So, all right. For one, obviously, the low COVID rates, mm-hmm. and the fact of having the virus under control. Because I did also think about Jamaica and Trinidad, two islands that I love a lot, and things unfortunately are not so great there. And so I said, it was just impressive to me. Wow. Second of all, I also, as a professor, I wanted to be somewhere where there's made one of the UWE campuses. Mm-hmm. And so I was excited that there's UWE Cave Hill here, that it specializes in law, because it's something that, I'm not a lawyer, but a lot of the work that I do involves law. And it's also a campus that I never had the chance to really be connected with yet. I've done work in Trinidad and in Jamaica, but not so much here. So there was that. And then maybe the biggest factor was your prime minister. I'm a fan.
We genuinely admire her.
I just was watching her speeches, speech after speech, and all that progressive thinking. And for somebody like me, like that really, really excites me. And so I wanted to be in that space with a government, especially now, leaving the U.S. The idea of coming somewhere with a government that's not only functional, but actually progressive and thoughtful and talks sense and talks science, like that was very exciting to me. So those were the factors.
Well, that's absolutely lovely to hear with regards to the reason why you're here. But I just want to drift back a little bit to when you talked about the first reason why you came here, because it's connected a lot to culture. And for you, I would like to know, you know, when you think about the culture here in Barbados, you know, one, what are your thoughts on it, and how does it compare to other cultures that you have experienced around the world?
So, well, I think in Caribbean culture in general is a culture of kind of life, living, energy, a celebration of joy, but also like an intense kind of thoughtfulness and seriousness about history. And I guess I think that ultimately for me, and I grew up around a lot of Caribbean people, so it was part of what drew me to the culture in the first place, was this incredible kind of yin and yang combination of like an intensity and a seriousness and understanding of history and, you know, a legacy that is sometimes very sad and tragic and coming out of the legacy of slavery, but also like this absolute celebration of life and an embrace of joy and, in ways that, you know, I think Carnival, of course, represents and so much of the music represents, but is not all fun and games. It's not just like, oh, hey, whatever, that there's a seriousness and like a scholarliness, dare I say, to the culture also.
All right, so from there then, I want to transfer now into what we're talking about with regards to volunteerism, because a lot of where you have been doing and Watson has been tight. So for example, you mentioned with regards to working possibly with the campus here at the KFL campus in Barbados. So for you, what are some of the projects that you're looking to be involved with now that you're here on island?
So I already met through some connections that I had through the other campuses. I was connected to some amazing faculty in actually a number of different disciplines. So performing arts and film, criminology, and Caribbean studies, cultural studies, Black studies. And so we had a meeting shortly after I got here. And we already set up, we had one event, which was a film screening of some of the docuseries that I've been working on related to criminal justice around the world. And it was amazing. It was actually my first live event. I mean, it was very small and of course within the COVID restrictions and all of that. But it was like, I mean, it was just amazing to be able to do an in-person event and engage with people and have, you know, those kinds of conversations. So we set up that event and we talked about doing some more talks related to criminal justice, both in the region and also globally. Just today, I'm setting up a meeting for next week about potentially developing some programs that deal with policing in the region, that deal with prisons. I'm definitely hoping that to get inside the prison and learn more about the kinds of programs that are offered there, given that the work that I do involves, teaching and education and other kinds of programs inside the prison. So that's in the works also. And I think that, I think there's a lot of possibilities here for the work that I do that I can see a lot developing, even in a short time.
You know, I'm actually very curious because like when you have conversations with people and you realize that they're very passionate about what you do, you know, rather what they do. My question always with regards to where did that passion stem from with regards to the work that you're currently doing?
With the criminal justice work, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, I don't know how to do anything not passionately, so I I'm blessed in that way. Everything that I do in life, I really love to do. There's drudgery in everything, but I came to criminal justice work more than 20 years ago, going inside prisons for a host of different reasons that all kind of converged. And I think just fundamentally, the injustice of it never leaves me, and so I'm persistently on this quest to not only, of course, make change in that space, but also get other people to realize how this system doesn't make sense and isn't benefiting any of us and isn't, it's benefiting the small few in various ways, but isn't benefiting any of us as a society as a whole, isn't bringing us peace, isn't bringing us safety, isn't bringing us community in ways that I think we all want. So I just feel, you know, the more I do the work, actually, the more driven I am to convey that message and to have communities understand that in the hopes that that will bring change.
And you kind of slightly touched on it just a little earlier, but you had actually been doing some work also with Fab Five Freddy. You know, what was that experience like? And what were the conversations that came out from that particular encounter?
So Fab and I met. I was interviewed for his documentary called Grass is Greener about cannabis legislation and its impact on communities of color, in particular in the U.S. and mass incarceration and, you know, disproportionate racial inequalities in the system overall in the U.S. And also in some respects globally. And so he interviewed me for that documentary, and I could tell you I fanned out, and I don't do that a lot. I meet a lot of people through my jobs, but I'm born and raised in the Bronx. I grew grew up on hip hop, and you know, that's icon status. But he and I really hit it off, and we just, even after the interview was done, we were just chopping it up and talking about Jamaica and talking about Barbados, talking about you know, just the Caribbean, talking about hip hop. And so we always stayed in touch from there. And of course, as activists, I mean, he's also an activist on this front and other fronts. So we just kind of kept the link. And when I told him I was coming out here for a while, he was like, really? You know, I know I still have family. Mm. You know, I have roots there and all this. And so one thing led to another. And ultimately, he ended up down here, which was incredible. And so it was beautiful to have him here. To have him reconnect with his roots. He hadn't been here in more than 2 decades or something like that. And then for us to do our event together was incredible. Because actually we were, it was our first time being able to do an event together. We were trying to plan a couple things in New York after the film, but then COVID hit and it was even safe events became a challenge to do. So it was great to be able to have that.
I know, let's go now to the relaxing side of, you know, whereby, because you've been to Barbados several times, so on island now, what are some of the highlights for you in terms of experiences here on the island?
Let's see. Well, I mean, I love, you know, not to be a cliche, but I do love the beach and the sea. So, and it never gets old to me. And, you know, call me a tourist or whatnot, but I get really happy to swim in the sea every day. I do not take that for granted. So, you know, definitely swimming. I was staying up in Whole Town, and I loved everything about it. I loved, for me, as a cosmopolitan New Yorker who's like a city girl, you know, born and raised, that being in like a village basically that was quiet, that was where basically within a week I knew everybody and they knew me, and I loved that. I'm in the South now, there's more hustle and bustle, but it's still, you know, that vibe of kind of knowing people quickly, having them know you and being able to connect. I love the, I like country rum shop vibes. Mm-hmm. So I was in Martin's Bay.
Oh, the very laid back atmosphere and everything.
Yes, and just, you know, small and local. I went to the rum-a-thon at Martin's Bay. And they gave me like 40 pounds of breadfruit on my plate that I couldn't finish. I love Bathsheba. Mm-hmm. That's easily my favorite place to be at and just catch a vibe and appreciate like that level of quiet and peace and you know, in these times, definitely for not sure. Taking, not that I ever really took it for granted. I practice gratitude on a daily basis always, but I definitely feel it 50 times more now.
Yeah, for sure, with how everything is going, like basically you look out into the world and just realize how hectic things are, and the ability to just sit back and just relax and just say, you know what, being able to say thank you for allowing me to just be here and enjoy this moment is just almost priceless.
Word.
To be very honest, honestly.
Word. Like, yes.
It's just like, oh, this could have been us too.
True. Like, and also to be in community. I mean, I've been to FETs over Independence Day. I was on a, you know, I went on a boat ride. FET, it was amazing. Like, I've never appreciated that more. The first time I went, when I went to Reggae at Mojo's and I saw a live band again, even though, I mean, New York has been doing well over the summer. There were things, but to experience that sense of being able to be in community with the music community again was incredible. I never really took that for granted, but I triple won't take that for granted. So just to be able to be in FETs and feel safe, be able to be, you know, in hearing live music all over the place again, and just that level of, you know, of vibes and togetherness, like that's everything.
All right, so as we begin to wrap up this conversation, now, trust me, I don't want it to end, but I am very cognizant that they're gonna tell me, well, you know, we're gonna hit that time limit very soon. But in terms of, no, because you've been here, like I said before, you know, we've been here several times, is there one thing that you have not done yet on the island of Barbados that you still want to do?
Are you gonna arrange it?
I mean, it could be very possible. It could happen.
Wait, let me see. Okay, so I'm thinking beautiful boats, all the boats I've been seeing. So I have been on the daytime once. I've not done like a full moon, evening, nighttime. I mean, other than like a FET situation. So high BTMI.
I love to do that. Yeah, cruises like, that stay where you can actually watch the sunrise.
Invite all my people, see the full moon. I'm definitely a full moon fanatic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got a full moon coming up. So something like that.
I mean, to be honest, you're here. We enjoy the conversation and we enjoy the smiles. So you never know how life might turn out. You never know. But now for those who are listening on the podcast, because we're talking a lot with regards to volunteerism, life here on the island of Barbados. And for all you listening, there definitely are several opportunities for you to be able to volunteer on the island, whether or not it's through various charities, through various schools, etc. But for those listening now, if you could tell them why they should come to Barbados, what would you have to say?
God, there's so many. I think the whole interview was reasons why. I mean, you know, come for the beauty of the surroundings, of course, and the ocean, the vibe and the energy of the people, and in this particular moment, come because, like, real living is happening here. Real living, and that is, you know, something that is not happening in many places of the world right now. And you definitely feel the sense of gratitude and carefulness. Yes. It's not like people are being stupid either. They're being quite smart about it. But you know, real life is happening, and in all its dimensions, and that's amazing.
Well, guys, there you have it. Real life is happening here in Barbados. Baz, it's been an absolute pleasure to have this conversation with you. Honestly, I wish we could, you know, stretch it further, because honestly, it's like a wealth of knowledge coming across this coach right now, and it's definitely been an honor. I hope you continue to have a blast here in Barbados, and we definitely look forward to you just, you know, getting your passport and staying forever.
I'm with it. Let's organize.
Well, guys, that brings us to the end of another Barbados Travel Guide podcast, the Welcome Stamp Edition. It's been a pleasure having you, and we certainly look forward to having you listen to us once again on the next podcast.